6:30 is our combined Bible study and prayer meeting. Because it's the start of the month, the first Wednesday of the month is our ladies fellowship meeting. So it's on in the hall at 7:30 on Wednesday. The speaker this month is Keith Lindsay. That's Keith from Acre, but he has a number of talents, so he's coming along to show his skills in floral demonstration and also an update on the work of Acre Gospel Mission. So for the ladies, that's for you. You'll be made more than welcome at that. Next Sunday the 6th, Pastor will be speaking at both services, and there's communion after the evening service. Just a couple of other announcements. The Eshcol shoebox appeal. Please return the shoeboxes to Billy Annette by next Sunday. I know that was kind of short notice, but if you have anything that you want to donate to the Eshcol Trust and their ministry, then please bring them before next Sunday. And just another reminder about the seniors' Christmas dinner. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back there. So if you haven't put your name down, please do that in the coming days. And lastly, just Word for Today, the winter edition of Word for Today is out. And again, it's found at the bookcase at the back. So if you get that, just lift one on your way out. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
Well, Drew, if you notice a few pairs of your shoes going missing, you'll know you'll get them in Billy Annette's house. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you here in the Lord's house this morning. And it's great that the sun's shining in the windows and it's such a lovely day. But before we start our praise, we'll just bow our heads and open in prayer, please. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this beautiful day, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come into your house to worship you and to listen to your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the past week, Lord. We thank you for looking after us all, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you will keep your hand upon us. And Lord, as we're taking part in the service now, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to join in with the praise, and when the time comes for opening your word, Lord, that you will open our ears and that we might hear something new from your word, Lord. Lord, we just ask you now, Lord, that you will indeed bless us in our time with you here, Lord. We ask this in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Seeing you've had an extra hour in bed, we'll start today with a quiz. So 10 points for anybody who can tell me who the Prime Minister is today. but no matter how much turmoil is going on and no matter how many times the person in charge of our country changes, praise God, we know he ultimately is in charge and he changes not. So I thought we could remind ourselves that he is always the same and that God is today, yesterday, today and forever, he is the same, and we'll stand and sing that this morning.
Save the sinful.
is indeed great that the Lord is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And it's the same as this next song, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So that's an instruction from him to praise his name from the morning time until the night time. So this next song we're going to sing is, we'll let you stay seated for this one, and I'll sing it through twice, from the rising of the sun.
Boys and girls, do you want to come and join me at the front? Anybody?
Come on now, don't be shy.
Thank you, Ezra.
It's only Louise, she's not that scary.
Great. Are you coming up? Do you want to stand beside Harper? Oh, your uniform. Oh, sorry. Okay, so this morning we're going to sing I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time. And we're going to get faster and faster as we go, okay? And it's saying that when you become a Christian, when you tell the Lord that you are sorry for your sins and ask him into your heart to help you live for him, and it says you're happy all the time. And that doesn't mean that you'll never be sad again as a Christian. But it just means that no matter what you're going through, the Lord will be with you and he will give you a joy and a peace. Okay, so I'm sure we all know the actions, and can you make sure that everybody else in the church is doing them? Yep. Okay. So I'm in right, out right.
After two, one, two. I'm in my life.
Well, if nothing else, that was a great bit of exercise for us all. This next wee song we're going to sing is another old favourite as well. It's Love Lifted Me, and I find there's nothing better in my life when I'm feeling down or I'm feeling a bit depressed. I'm feeling as if things just aren't going the way they should. That you read God's word, and in that, he tells you about how much he loves you. He tells you about how much he's done for you and how much he will continue to do for you. And that just lifts my whole spirit, and it lifts me out of my depression and into a happier place. So we'll all stand to sing this one.
I didn't know. Thank you, Louise and James, for that singing. Just a few people that we want to remember in prayer before we go any further, and that is to say that Sydney Johnson is still in hospital and needs our prayers as he's slowly recovering, but is very slowly, and I've been to see him a couple of times, and he just values your prayers for him. And also Meryl Spears is still in hospital, and she needs your prayers as well as they struggle and battle with her condition. And also good to see Andy and Lynn back from the funeral. Andy, we've been remembering you in prayer. Good to see Lisa and William Martin back in church after Lisa's father passed away. And you may or may not have heard the news last night that there was a fire in Carrick Congregational Church, and they aren't able to have a service. And there's no other news, so don't jump to any conclusions. But there is no other news regarding that, but other to say that there was a fire last night and they're unable to have their service in the church. So we want to remember our brothers and sisters in Carrick. We want to remember those that are ill and in hospital and struggling to gain some kind of well-being. And we also want to remember the fellowship here in our church. We want to know the Lord's hand and his touch upon us in our various gatherings. So let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in this service we can gather together around the throne of grace and know that our God is here, and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. Lord, we thank you for the joy that's in our hearts as we sing these praises and these songs. And Lord, they're not sang to each other, they're sang to you. And Lord, they come as a consequence, as a result of the blessing that God has poured out in our hearts. We pray, Father, for this opportunity as we gather into your house. We pray that you will be very evident, and Lord, that you will be present, that Christ will be uplifted, our focus will be gained upon him, centered on him. And our Father, we pray that we'll so much be taken up with God and his word, and the position, the place that we hold, and the responsibility that we have to respond to that word. We pray, Lord, that not one of us will leave here today unchallenged and unchanged. But each and every one of us, Lord, will leave this place today saying that God has truly challenged our hearts. Lord, we've mentioned a number of individuals this morning. We pray also for Ed Hamilton's sister-in-law. We pray that she will continue to know your help. Thank you for Evelyn Bell, who's home from her procedure as well. And Lord, we remember Sydney, and we remember his continuing challenge to recover from this latest operation for Meryl Spears, Father, as she gets to grips with her cancer. And Father, for all others that are receiving treatment, for those, Lord, in our fellowship today, we think too of Ruby Dixon and Bobby's passing, and Lord, the funeral service that was held this past week as well. Lord, remember everyone that's in the house of mourning. Lord, we thank you that you said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Remember, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Carrick today. Remember, Lord, each one of them as they deal with this fire that's been in the sanctuary. We lift them up, Lord. We lift the minister, Paul Clark, up before you, the members and those who attended that place of worship. And Father, we pray that you will draw alongside and give them comfort at this time. And Father, for all your persecuted church in these days, for those who are struggling, Lord, we think of South Korea and the disaster last night. And Father, we pray that you'll minister to those and speak, Lord, into this situation. For our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, Lord, and the struggle and the fighting and the war that's going on there and the nastiness of it, we pray, Father, that you will undertake for each one. For the many, Lord, from our fellowship who are away on holiday this week, Lord, this weekend, Lord, as they listen in perhaps and tune in, we pray that they too will be blessed of God as they tune in to this service. For those at home who are unable to be here because of sickness, think of Eddie and Roberta, Lord, as they struggle with health issues as well. Lord, we ask that you'll meet them at the very point of their need. And for the many, Lord, who have a special need today, we lift them up to you in the arms of faith and love. We pray that you'll touch our hearts today. And Lord, as we leave this place, we'll be very conscious of your presence amongst us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you've got a Bible with you, then we are turning again to Romans in chapter 12. And we're reading from the verse 9 to the verse 21. And it's good to have Christine, that's Kathleen Moore's daughter, all the way from Canada. I think you're the furthest travel tonight, today, Christine. You're very welcome. I know you're here for a few weeks. Your mother will surely be glad to have you here, and we trust you'll enjoy fellowship with us as you worship God with us today. Good to have you here with us. Good to see you again. And we trust that the Lord will be a blessing to you and your family. Now, let's read together from Romans chapter 12. And we are reading from the verse 9 down to verse 21. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to all of our hearts. I did mean to seek to encourage you to come along tonight. There are quite a number of our folk away, and there will be a lot of empty seats tonight, so I'm encouraging you to come along to hear that testimony of Paula Cahoon, who had a young son who was very severely affected with autism. And through one thing and another, she sees him now, while she was told that he would never live a normal life, he now lives a normal life. And she believes that the Lord has very definitely stood in and stepped into that situation. And it is one of the reasons, the causes of her coming to Christ. And I'd encourage you to come along. And if you have any questions, maybe you deal with it yourself. Maybe she'll be able to answer some of the questions that be on your mind and in your heart. As we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, we're looking of our behavior within the family of God. Romans chapter 12 is one of the greatest challenges as to our behavior amongst and in our service of and worship of our God. The worship of our God. And worshiping God isn't only about turning up for an hour on a Sunday morning. Whenever I was growing up, that's what I thought it was. It's just about turning up. Just for an hour. 1 hour a week, Christians, and the rest of the time is lived for self. Others think that worshiping God is, yes, turning up for 1 hour on a Sunday and putting your money on the plate. Others have varied ideas of what it is to really worship God. But you know well that I have been encouraging you to consider what it is really to worship God. It is to worship God with all of your life. From the moment you're saved, God, as I said to you on a number of occasions, the reason that God saved you and I is because you and I were hijacked at the Garden of Eden. And our worship was redirected to self. And the enemy, the devil, was as in a sense congratulating himself that our worship was redirected, was hijacked, because you and I were created to live for God. You and I were created to worship him. And so at salvation, you and I are redirected again to the worship of the one who created us. That's why you have within you a heart and a desire to worship the King of Kings. Whenever you hear the things of God, whenever you sing these great songs of Zion, you're encouraged and inspired, and there's something different that you don't get in the world that encourages your heart. We are spiritual beings. And first and foremost, you and I were created to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So every area, every aspect of our lives is to worship him, not only with our tithes and offerings, not only with our talents and our treasures, not only with our very with our odd occasional worship service that we attend, but all of our lives. And that's the premise upon which Paul starts this chapter. We looked at the follower and their faithfulness. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a partial sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice, brought to life again through the working of the Holy Spirit, which had brought us back to life from the darkness and the deadness of this old life, sinful nature. We looked at the follower and his faithfulness. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, your worship. Secondly, we looked at the framework and its function, the church. We looked at a proper evaluation of self. We're not to think of ourselves above our office. But we are saved sinners. We're sinners who are saved by the grace of God. We'll be nothing else and nothing better. And thank God we'll be nothing less. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a recovering Pharisee, as the old bluegrass singer song goes. A recovering Pharisee. Once I was centered only on my own attention, my own needs, but I have now a proper evaluation. There but for the grace of God go I. We looked at the environment of the saved, the church, the body, which you and I all belong to. And we looked at the equipping of the saints, the framework and its function. Today we look at the family and its fellowship. I feel like I'm going to be like a wee bit of a lecturer today. If you've ever read through those passages, those verses 9 to verse 21, you know it's filled with short little sayings. And as you could preach a sermon in each one of those little sayings. But my motivation, my purpose today is to try and give you a picture of the whole. What it means when we're thinking about the family and their fellowship. You and I are part of the family of God. That's why we can refer to each other as brothers and sisters. In fact, there is a song that says, I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. You'll hear me say sister or brother, because we are valued to each other. You are, I am, and the church worldwide are part of the family of God. And so these verses are filled with the challenges of the children of God to, as we exist and live within the family of God, how to behave towards each other in this family. These verses, if heeded, will utterly transform this church. I'm going to say it again. These verses, if heeded, will utterly transform this church and every church up and down our land. And it'll alter your home. And it'll alter your workplace. and it will alter everything you put your hand to. How we behave within the family of the fellowship. And so we'll not get very far today because I over-prepared, but I don't want us to miss some of these vital truths. So I suspect we'll only get looking at number one, our actions toward the family. Our actions toward the family. You'll find the verses in verses 9 to verse 15. Paul lays out in these verses. Read them when you go home. See, can you tick a box at everyone and say, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. And see how many are absent in your life. He lays out how we are to act towards each other within the body of Christ, the church. These verses speak, listen, now listen to me. These verses speak to us about actions that make God's people a pleasure to live with. These verses speak to us about actions that make God's people a pleasure to live with. Here's two things, and there's about 10 or 12 under each one, because I'm going to take the phrases. Notice our social actions. Our social actions. Man is a social being. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't think I could exist on a desert island. I couldn't. I love people. I love to be with people. And anybody that doesn't want to be with people, well, there's something wrong, because man is a social being. And what I can't understand is the number of people who say, well, I go to church on my own and I stay in my own sitting room and I go nowhere. Well, my dear friend, you were made to be a social being. That's what we are. We crave relationship. We crave to be with one another. We long to be with one another. But what the devil does oftentimes, he tries to put a division or a thought in our mind, and he tries to exclude us and drive us into seclusion. And drive us to be those kind of individuals who can hardly face the light of day. There is one reason why God established the church. That the lonely might have somewhere where they can exist. And heaven knows, we're living in a world today that's alien to the things of God. And if we don't get social interaction in the church, well, the devil and the world is going to make sure they'll give you plenty out there. Plenty out there. But it'll not be good for you. The difference between people sitting in a pub and the people sitting in church. The people sitting in the pub are talking about the world, drinking themselves senseless, getting intoxicated to where their guard is let down so that they're not able to protect themselves against the wiles of the enemy. And the people in the church are centered and focused on Christ, and we get our social interaction within the church. And if we don't get social interaction with the church, then we are failing in one of the aspects to which God has called the church. The gathering, I have a few bullet points that I want you to pick up. The gathering of God's people has to be a place of warmth, love, and togetherness. Because it's pictured and mirrored on the family within the home. How do we create an atmosphere then of warmth and friendliness? Listen, look at me. I come from the Republic of Ireland. I'm from the south of Ireland. I was brought up in the backwoods on a 32-acre farm. I have opinions and thoughts and background which are holy and completely different to you that were brought up on the Shankill Road or wherever else you were brought up in. In fact, every one of us are different because we have a different genetic order. We have a different background, and we were brought into this, as it were, this cauldron, as it were, this place that we're to exist and coexist, so that we enjoy with others' company, and we have to make it a place of warmth. How do we make it a place of warmth for fellowship? Ask God. Well, sometimes what God says, well, read my word. You'll get the answer there. Sometimes the answer is plain and simple in the word of God. And it jumps out of us, and all we have to do is but heed what God's word is saying. I suggest that through the grace of God, and the help of God in obedience to his word, we can create it with him as we listen to his word. Here's a few things concerning our social actions. Be genuine. Verse 9 in the first part. Let love be without dissimulation. I think that's what it says. Let love be without, or in other words, without pretense. Be genuine one with another. Be genuine. Don't be giving them that old religious smile. And all the while in your heart, you don't think tuppence about them. Be genuine. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we think that God doesn't know what's really going on in the inside? Be genuine. That is genuine, like that of our Savior, who said it as it was and acted as it was. Not pretending to care when all the while it's out of sight, out of mind. Genuine. How are you? Pick up the phone in the middle of the week. How are you? I noticed you seemed as if you hadn't got any sleep. Is everything all right? Be genuine. Next word. Be loving. The first part of verse 10. Look at what it says there in verse 10. It says there, be kindly affectioned one to another. Now, what does that mean? What that really means is have a devoted love for the family, just as you husbands have for your wife, just as you fathers have for your children, just as you children have care and affection for your mother and father, have that same devotion that you're always acting in their best interest. Be loving. I told you it was going to feel like a wee bit of a lecture, didn't I? Here's the third one. Be humble. The second part of verse 10. In honor, preferring one another. You know what that means? It means to put others ahead of yourself. Yours is not necessarily the most important opinion. Everybody else has a voice, and they have the right to share it and sound it. Nobody has any precedence or preference. In fact, the Word of God says that we're to think of others far better than ourselves. Kindly affectioned and humble. Treat them as if their lives are more important than yours. Just as our Savior did for us. Their opinion matters. Their lives are important. Because I think that if they're important to God, then they ought to be important to us. Their voice deserves to be heard. Their concerns are every bit as urgent as ours. Very quickly, notice verse 11 and the first part of verse 11. Be diligent. That word be diligent is a business word, but it transcends all of life. What does it mean? It means work hard at fellowshipping. Well, I'll say that again. Work hard at fellowshipping. Because I want to tell you, sometimes it is hard to have fellowship, isn't it? We say things, we do things, and we act and we react, and we say, well, I'm not talking to him, and I'm not talking to her again. This word says we are to work hard at it. Do not let the devil come in between it. Make sure you work hard at being right with your brother and your sister, and don't let the enemy destroy that fellowship. Because if the enemy can destroy the fellowship, he damns multitudes outside this church. Be diligent. Work hard at fellowshipping. What does it mean? It means not giving up on a brother or sister at the first fallen hurdle. There was an old preacher, and I know that we're living in a very strange day when words have taken on different meanings. But I'm thinking back to a day when the rainbow meant the rainbow. And when you used the word awesome, it meant something. Well, he said, and I'm not going to say the name of the preacher because you may know him. He said, the Lord has his dear ones and he has his queer ones. And he meant that in the most gracious and godly way. And yes, God's people can be queer at times. We have different appetites, different attitudes, different desires, and it's easy to fall out in a fellowship. It's easy to get growing opinions against someone who actually has a different way and a different understanding than you and I have. Work hard at fellowshipping. Do you think that God gave us these lists after lists after lists of how to behave in the fellowship if he didn't think it was going to be hard? He brings us into the family of God and he tells us, now get on with it. In fact, John's Gospel in chapter 17 is all about Jesus praying that they may be one even as we are one. Because he knew the difficulties that he was placing upon us. Because every one of us have a fallen nature. And that old Adamic, that old fallen nature does not want to behave properly within the family any more than your children or you behave properly in your own family. Be diligent. Be helpful, very quickly. Verse 13 and the first part of verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Not only giving ear time, but giving your time. Helpful. Enter into the burdens of fellow believers. Not a busybody, but a blessing. Bear one another's burdens, says Paul to Galatians in 6 and verse 2. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, I think of Christ when he entered into the burdens of the lost. He entered into the burdens of the lepers. He entered into the burdens of those that were blind. He entered into the burdens of those who had lost loved ones. And he came alongside and he was the paraclete. This verse is telling you to be the paraclete. To be the person that comes alongside and help a person who's bending down under the strain of life. Be helpful. Very quickly, be open. 13b, I still remind you that this is more of a lecture. 13b, given to hospitality. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Instead of building walls between us and others, we are to reach out as true friends. not cliques, not closed doors, not exclusive groups. God never intended there to be elite groups within any fellowship, because there's none of us has anything to boast about. When was the last time? Let me put it another way. Is there anybody in this church that you've never talked to? Now, you look over there, and you look over there. Can you see anybody? And look behind you. Is there anybody? Why? They're not in your social group. We're still on the social aspect. We haven't even gone on to the spiritual yet. Is it because they haven't got the same color hair or they're a different age group? Now, don't do a Joe Biden. Don't go around with the children and smell women's hairs. Don't do that. You see, I happened to mention a number of years ago, I was praying for a lady, and somebody in the church said, I don't know that person. And I said, how long have you been in this church? They said, 50 years. And I said, you know how long that lady's been in the church? No, 50 years. Why are we like that? Do we build up walls? We think of the way they dress, or the way they look, the way they sound, where they come from, or whatever. Is that what determines those who we decide to be friendly with? Oh, they've got more money than I have. And listen, because they've got more money than you, that puts you in a place where you had to try and be friends with them. Because maybe they've got a wee bit uppity like this. Their nose has got a hook on it. Be friendly. And by the way, I have no friends in church. Oh, that nobody bothers with me. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, he that will have friends must show himself to be friendly. And sometimes there's people marching around and they've got a placard, please don't try to befriend me because I'll take the head off you. Be open. Be open. Be kind. What does he mean here in verse 14, be kind? Well, sometimes we have to try and seek to correct individuals, but be gracious as you do it. Gracious. That's a very rare commodity in today's church. Grace. The next one, just to get to an end of the social aspect, be compassionate, verse 15. We dealt with this last week. A person who's compassionate sees someone who's laboring or someone who's buckling. They see someone who's perhaps difficulty cited, or see someone who hasn't got a lift, and they come alongside and they offer them a lift to church, or they offer to sit beside them because they see them sitting alone all the time. These things are merely ways in which the church can demonstrate Christ-likeness amongst each other. It's a way to show the world the reality of our claims. It's a way to glorify Jesus Christ in the church and before the world. By these and many others, just giving you a little flavor, we create a warmth of atmosphere and love towards brothers and sisters that they're glad to come to church, because the world that they've been working in is an alien place. And they have very little of any way of fellowship. And I'm speaking from the spiritual direction. I'm not talking about the kind of clothes you wear. I said I must dress myself up today. Don't I look good, don't I? I said I'm going to try and look at these, not how I feel. But the world that we're living in. When was the last time somebody came to you in your environment and sought to encourage you or say they were praying for you in your workplace? It might happen now and again, but it's not commonplace. What ought to be commonplace in the church is for people to come alongside and say, I'm praying for you, I'm thinking about you, and the odd time maybe a disagreement happened. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have loved one for another. Notice then very quickly, and this will be close, not only our social actions, but notice our spiritual actions. You see, the church is the body of Christ. And it was never meant to solely be a social gathering. Like, come to our church, it's a coffee church. We have coffee before the service, in the middle of the service, and after the service. And then when we're on our way home, we call with each other's houses to have coffee. As if coffee's the most important thing that you ever drank. Are you with me on this? I'm not saying it's wrong. And mind you, if I had my way, I would like us to have coffee on the way into church. As if we could get you a bit an hour before church starts, of course. Because we wouldn't be wasting our time drinking coffee during church service, would you? Would you want to? Would you? Oh, I came here to worship God. But sometimes a wee drop of coffee and a wee bit of a chat gives us the opportunity to talk with each other. Why am I talking about this? Come to our church because we're a social church. Come to our church because we play other music than Christian music. Come to our church because we support Liverpool. We support Manchester United. We support Chelsea. Come to our church because we support Linfield. Or Crusaders. Better mention Crusaders. Or whoever. No, come to our church because we want to worship God. Come to our church because Christ is the centre. And maybe around a wee cup of tea we will talk about Christ. That's one of the things I miss. Having a little bit of time in the prayer room, although it's become too small. But to have a little bit of time to share with one another, to discuss the message even. Well, he was sharp today, wasn't he? The church was never meant to be a social place only. So how do we create? What are the traits of the characteristics that help and equip us to be a blessing, a spiritual blessing? Verse 9, be holy. Be holy. In our personal walk with God, we are to hate the evil and be glued to that which is right, being careful how we conduct ourselves. Because God's word says in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. What kind of an example for holiness are we? And I'm not talking about sinless perfection here. I'm talking about a righteous way of living, a righteous way of reacting. I'm talking about things that we have an appetite for. We don't get together to talk only about the weather or about the football, but we get to talk together about Christ. Be holy. Is there a mark of godliness about me? Or do I appeal to their carnal nature? Oh, he's one of us. Or is there a sense of purity in my character? Be holy. Here's another one. This is going to get you going now. Be excited. Look at verse 11b. Look at verse 11b. I'm only preaching the word here. 11b says, fervent in spirit. You know what that word, and I know this will probably be hard to swallow, but you know what that word means? Boiling and bubbling. Did you come to church today enthusiastic about the work of God and the worship of God? Is there something emanating from you that you're excited in God, that there's a spiritual dynamic going on that you can't contain yourself because you want to do somersaults spiritually? Be excited. Be excited. Turn with me to Psalm number 38, please, and we're going to also go to Psalm number 39. I was interesting that the theme you took this morning, James, you and Louise. I was saying, these boys have been watching over my shoulder, been looking into my sermons. They've been somehow. Because, yes, we get disillusioned, and I won't say that I get depressed, but I get down. Do you? Hands up those of you who get down. Of course we get down. We're human beings. Well, the psalmist in Psalm number 38, look what happened in verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long like one of those congregationalists from Abbot's Cross. Verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I am roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Verse 9, Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart, verse 10, panteth. My strength faileth me as for the light of mine eyes. It is almost all gone from me. I'm almost down and out. I'm almost down and out. Then he brings us to Psalm number 39 and verse 3. My heart was hot within me. And while I mused or was musing, the fire burned. And then spake I with my tongue. That word musing was meditating. You see, it's not going to be football, and it's not going to be snooker, and it's not going to be darts, and it's not going to be history, and it's not going to be politics, and it's not going to be economics, and it's not going to be the economy, and it's not going to be all of those things that's going to get the fire burning where you're spiritually overflowing. What does get the fire burning is when you meditate on Him. Meditate in His Word. And you begin again then to feed the fire. Feed the fire. Stoke it. Give it plenty of fuel. Think about what Christ has done for you. Think of the length and the breadth and the depth to which He was willing to suffer in our place and in our stead. Think of this one fact that gripped me many, many years ago. If I'd been the only person ever born, Christ would still have died for me. And I can look you straight in the eye. And sometimes I wish the people in the balcony were sitting at the front because I'd like to give you a good eyeballing. And I would tell you this, the day I've really understood the full measure of the love of God for me was the day that I realized that if I'd been the only person ever born, Christ would still went all, He would have went through all that He went through just for me. But we act like spoiled brats. We feel as if we're entitled. All the while, He stands with outstretched arms. That's how much I loved you. That's how much. While I was meditating, called with someone there recently, and they'd spent a lot of time looking into end times, and it's good to do that. It's good to know what you believe. But I said, you know, there's a danger where you can get too engrossed in end times. It doesn't really feed the spiritual aspect of our souls. It gives us an excitement, all right, and it gives us an understanding. But I says, feed your soul on Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Be excited. Quickly, be faithful. The third part of verse 11, be faithful. It says there, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Or it means to be in the position of a servant and to do and act accordingly. You know, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, He says, I am among you as a servant. We're to serve one another. To serve one another. Do we? Do we really? You and I were saved to serve. Jesus says, I am amongst you as one who serves. And he that is greatest among you is the one that is the most servant-hearted. And that's God's evaluation. We belong to Jesus. Could you contemplate the thought that He saved you so that you could save, so you could serve the people that are sitting in front of you or behind you. Here's a good one. Be happy. Be happy. Verse 12. And the first part of verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. You know, it's interesting that the Bible speaks quite a lot about joy and happiness. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I said rejoice. In thy presence there's fullness of joy. Well, why do we mix up reverence with sour and sourness? Do you know that joy is infectious? Some poor, dear, disillusioned soul could have walked in through this door today and they could have looked at your face and they could have ended up twice as bad. I see some of you trying to not smile. Do smile a little. I need it all. Let it out. Be happy. Be happy. You know, the believer should be the happiest person alive. Because we're going to heaven. It might get bad here, but what I tell you, there's no blight in glory. Isn't that right? When I think of all those, and I don't take any glory, and I see all the suffering and the sadness and the difficulties. Esther and I watched a wee film last night, and it really, really, really blessed me. Because we've just put into Netflix Christian films. And we won't watch anything else. And there's this heart surgeon had separate. Sorry, this surgeon, a neurosurgeon, and there's these two conjoined twins, and he was able to separate these twins. Well, Esther was in the house, and I didn't want her to see, but I was the tears run down my eyes. I was so thankful, and that's true. Those children are still alive. He's still working in John's University Hospital. Isn't that right, Elena? Isn't that it? Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's still there today. And I was, what joy was in my heart whenever those wee twins now have a normal life. It brought joy. And I began to think, what a greater joy than Christ paid the penalty for my sin and I'm forgiven. There's two others, and I think my time's gone. But be hopeful, verse 12 and B. 12B, be hopeful. It says there, continuing instant in prayer, because prayer changes things. You know, negativity breeds negativity. Do you know that? And complaining breeds complainers. And everything doesn't have to suit me to be wrong. All right. Be hopeful. Remember the old preacher? And there was after a bit of a storm, and his car got stuck in a flood, and he managed to get to the church service, and the wind was beating, and the trees were falling, and everything was wrong. And the people said, now he's always saying hallelujah, or he's always saying praise the Lord. I wonder what he'll say this morning. And he says, praise the Lord, every day is not like today. Be hopeful and be prayerful, praying for one another. God's children, to create an atmosphere of warmth and fellowship. The family that prays together stays together. The smallest prayer meeting, the smallest meeting in this church is the prayer meeting. Never forget that God will bless the praying person, and never forget that God will bless the praying church. No prayer, no blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. Lecture over. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. There's two more parts. We'll probably get to it next Sunday. Father, for your grace, Lord, this is your church, not mine. Not anyone, not the longest member in Abbot's Cross. This is your church. Christ paid for it in his own blood. We thank you, Lord, that you left such a wonderful provision for the people of God, for those that are lonely, sad, or whatever, where life is dealt its most mean hand. Lord, thank you that there is to be found in the family of God, a friendship and a fellowship, a joy and a grace that is beyond anything the world can give. And we ask today, Lord, that you will graciously undertake for us, that we'll apply these truths to our hearts and in this fellowship for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together 180, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Vast Beyond All Measure. We are going to sing through the four verses, and then we're going to sing the first verse again a cappella. All right, thank you very much. We'll stand and sing. Thank you very much.
Father, part us from thy fear with thy blessing.
Bring us to our homes, Lord, full of appreciation for the fellowship of the family of God. And Lord, help us to bring glory to him through it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.